Well, good morning.
Wow, that sounds really loud. Well, I'm glad to be with you folks this morning. Thank you, my wife and my daughter, for able to join me this time. I think last time I came by myself. And so, but the weather's a little bit different over here, right? I remember when we landed the weather's a little bit even different there in Southern California than here. But over there is hot and humid, and so I prefer somewhere in the 90s. Sometimes I might be weird, but I prefer in the 90s. That's where I was born, and so, of course, and I lived in Southern California, was a little bit different from here. And, of course, the food over there is a little bit different also, right, Pastor? You're from Southern California. One of the first things my wife and I did when we landed in LAX, my son picked us up from the airport. Son, take me to In-N-Out. That's heaven food right there, all right? We will be eating In-N-Out, Pastor, when we get to heaven, right? So, but right, you're from Southern California, Brother Scott, as well, right? And so a lot of people are, exiting California to come to a state like this. But I'm glad to be here with you folks this morning. Let's turn the Bible to, we're going to talk about, I want to talk about one another. Of course, the majority of you here are older than me, okay? I'm in my 50s. I'm sure you can get up here and teach and preach better than me, but I'm going to make an attempt. Let's turn our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2 this morning. Okay. Or did I say second Peter? I said first, right? Okay. And I've been a Christian here for 32 years now. Got saved, went to public school, grew up in a Buddhist home. And at the age of 19, I came over to play basketball. And I heard the gospel. Of course, I rejected it. And it was not until about 6 months later I got saved. My wife, you know, came to church, you know, as a teenager as well. And it was started by my pastor, Joe Esposito. He came and he planted Cambodian Baptist Church, okay? Let me tell a little bit of a story. He wanted to become a missionary to Cambodia at that time after he had graduated from Bible College. And at that time, there was no missionaries going to Cambodia at all. Then he come to find out that Long Beach, California, had more Cambodian than anywhere else in the world outside of Cambodia itself. And he came and he planted Cambodian Baptist Church. I'm very grateful for that. Because of that, my wife got saved. I got saved later on. And then many got saved. Many Cambodians got saved. And then we start reaching out to others as well. So we changed the name from Cambodian Baptist to Pacific Baptist, you know. We were a very, very poor church. We met in parking lot. We had a building, but for the older folks, but us teenagers and young adults, we met in the parking lot, put up some tent. Those were some interesting days. Amen. Just a tarp. Wow. You know, we had a pole just a little bit bigger than this right here. And we welded together. When I say we, the church, all right? I don't know how to do anything. They welded together and put up tarps. And sometimes the rains would come. It would, you know, sometimes the winds would blow the tent away. We have to hold on to it. Everyone had to hold on the pole. Sometimes there would be a hold on the tarp. It rains. We had suit with umbrella under the tent. Amen. Very interesting day now. And the Lord's been good to us. People are getting saved, get baptized, and people being trained. We bought a building there on the better side of town. Because on the town where we were, the Long Beach where we were at, it was, Pastor, I'm not sure you know this, in the 90s, there was hatred and animosity between the Asians and the Hispanics. And there were drive-by shootings. We had to put up. Anyways, those were interesting days. Then we finally got out of there, went to bought our own piece of property. And that's where my wife and I got married. Okay, and then we sold that. We bought a bigger building. And God is using that local church there in Long Beach to send people out to plant churches in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, Lord willing, one of these days, Orange County, and Central California, and other parts of the United States, and send us out to Laos and Thailand and Cambodia and Guatemala, and eventually one day to Vietnam and the Philippines as well. So something to pray for. It's an exciting thing. I just found out, Brother Scott, my wife and I met with a young couple last month. They're surrendering to go to Laos. And so they have three young kids. So the same age my kids were when we first went to Laos. And I met with my pastor. It looked like we will be transitioning back into Laos, helping out with the Bible college on, instead of online, it'll be in person and just helping and with this young couple. And I've got my hands on all these other works. So it's exciting. Something to pray for. I'll talk more about it in the next hour. So let's turn to Bible, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says here, as newborn babes, amen, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You know, obviously this is talking about a physical birth. As a young baby needs milk, right? We as a Christian, we ought to be growing as well spiritually, right?
That's right.
You know, the Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him, right? To them gave he power to become the Son of God, right? So in other words, of course, you go to John chapter number 3, says that we must be born again in order to become a child of God, right? There's that physical birth. There's also that spiritual birth as well, right? And you guys, you hear the story of if you're born only once, a physical birth, you're going to die what? Twice, right?
Is
a physical death as well as a spiritual death. And the Bible says that, and death and hell was cast into that lake of fire, right? And whosoever is not found written in that book of life was cast into that lake of fire, which is what? The second death, right? And of course, we don't want anyone to be cast into that lake of fire, which is the second death. But it goes on, and also on the flip side of that, if you're born twice, right, a physical birth as well as a spiritual birth, you only can die once, unless the rapture takes place. I'd rather have that, Pastor. I don't want to go through pain. None of us want to go through pain, right? We live in this world, right? It's full of sin and darkness, problems. Our sister there was just talking about that Sin City, California, where we're from, right? Of course, we're trying to bring light even to California as well. You know, we have a very wicked governor as well, and even before that, even before him. And we're trying to bring light to California. But while we live in this world, right, God wants us to bring light, right? God wants us to be salt wherever we are, right? I was talking to Brother Scott a couple of days ago. He said, boy, it's the majority of the people here in Idaho are Christians already. Good. Good. But we also need to spread out our light, right? And the salt that we are, we need to spread it out. And so we hear, also turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18. And by the way, God wants us to bring what we have because we're Christians. God, and we have joy, peace, and happiness, right? And as a Christian, this is the worst that we're going to experience, right? But we still have it better than a lot of other people. And God wants us to bring a little bit of heaven that we have down to people here on earth that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's why we need more churches planted. That's why my wife and I and my family decided 14 years ago to leave the United States of America to bring what we got to those people on the other side of the world. So we want to bring a little bit of heaven down to earth to people that we are ministering to. And so 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 18, and the Bible says here, but grow in grace, right? God wants us to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So God wants us to grow. You know, as a kid, we grow. As a newborn babe, we grow, what? We drink milk. And then we have a little bit of more solid food. Then we learn how to crawl. We learn how to walk. We learn how to run. We learn how to ride a bicycle, then drive a car, graduate from high school, college, get married, growth. Then we learn how to be, parents and grandparents and so on and so on. We're growing, right? And everything. So as a Christian, God does not want us to remain stagnant. God wants us to grow as well as a Christian, you know. But by the way, you guys know this. I don't need to tell you. One way to grow is to be in church, amen. As a Christian, I don't know, Pastor, why people do not go to church. How are you going? Now, I'm speaking to the choir here, okay? How are they going to grow if they're not in church? Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25 tells us, right? Let us not forsake ourselves together as believers. We ought not to forsake ourselves as we assemble with one another here in church. How are we ever going to grow? Again, I'm speaking to the choir. By reading your Bible. Man shall not, we know that man shall not live by bread alone, right? We eat 2 times a day, 3 times a day, okay? Plus snacks in between, right? Okay? Plus coffee, whatever we have. Hey, you know, go get coffee, go get hot chocolate, whatever. We have all those things in between, and we grow, right? Well, God wants us to grow as well. Again, Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 4 said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right. We've got to get in God's word so we can grow, so we can know what our Father wants to tell us. Amen. We're never, ever going to grow if we don't read the Bible. We're never, ever going to grow if we are not faithful in church. Okay? And, of course, again, I'm speaking to the choir. You already know this. We're never, ever going to grow if we don't pray to Him. Yeah, right. You know, when we pray to Him, we are talking to God. We're asking God for this, 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 and this. And when we read God's Word, God is talking to us. I remember when I was in Bible college, and I was dating my wife, and my wife would send me some back before the days of cell phone, Pastor. Right, you know this, right? Before the days of cell phone, you know, you got to put a quarter in order to call, her home phone, there'll be a long line because other guys want to call up their girlfriends as well, right? I was like, come on, guys, you're on there for an hour, right? How long? There are other people in line, you know, in the dormitory. And sometimes my wife would send me a letter. And on that letter, I would love getting a letter from her, right? She lied. She put my name K, you know, kind. Oh, I forgot what she said. Oh, if you remember. Awesome. Oh, no, not awesome. That's an A. What am I saying? I forgot what she said. You, unique, M, magnificent, or something like that. She was a good liar, amen. All those things, that was not true. But it made me feel good about it, right? And I love getting letters from her. I would read it, and then I would read it over again. I'm thinking, man, I can't wait to get married to this girl. I can't wait to graduate from Bible college so I can go and get married with her. But, you know, of course, you know, when we read the story, we read the Bible, right? It tells us, it reminds us how much God loves us. And we've got to read it every single day. For God so loved us so much that, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a love story. 66 books. Written 600 years apart from each other, 44 different authors, different occupation, kings and doctors and farmers and fishermen and everything, right? What an amazing book. No contradiction whatsoever, right?
Amen.
That's wonderful. But thank God we ought to be growing. And, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17 tells us, right? Because when we grow, right, we are now a new creature. Of course, we will never be sinless. We'll never be perfect. We won't get a new body until we get to heaven, right?
That's right.
But while we are living on here on earth, though, we need to continue to be salt and light in the community that is filled with darkness, whether it's California or Southeast Asia. I'll talk more about this in the next hour, what is going on in that part of the world and how dark it is. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17 tells us that if any man, those of us that are saved, those of us that are born again, those of us that have our name written in the book of life, those of us that are eternally secure, if any man be in what? Christ. He's a new creature.
Right.
All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I don't know about you guys, but I love my Christian life.
Amen.
Ever since I got saved back in 1992, that I went to church, and I've been at church, pastor, every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, unless I'm sick, or when Summer was born. Why'd you have to be born at 2 o'clock in the morning, Summer? Couldn't you just wait or something? My wife tugged me, honey, it's time. Time for what? My first child, time for what? To go to the hospital. What? She couldn't wait? Or he? Just drive down to the doctor, call up pastor. I'm sorry, I can't go to church today. I'm here at the hospital. I missed church that Sunday, amen. Other than that, hey, no excuse. We ought to be in church, amen.
Amen.
But, you know, we ought to change. We ought to have a desire. We ought to have a heart to want to do the right thing. You know, of course, we know that we cannot lose our salvation, right? If we're saved, we're saved.
Amen.
We're eternally secured. We're in God's right hand. Our name's written in the book of life. We're born again. We have been adopted in the family of God. And we will always be his son or his daughter, right?
Amen.
We're secured. But if someone, it makes me curious, though, sometime, pastor, this guy has no desire to want to do the right thing. This guy has got no desire to live for the Lord. He doesn't want to go to church. He doesn't want to read his Bible. He doesn't want to win other people to the Lord. He doesn't want to tithe. He does not want to do the right. Are you saved? Now, I am no judge of that. God is the judge of that, right? But where's the fruit?
Yeah. Yeah.
You shall know them by their fruit.
That's right.
If someone is constantly living in sin, doing wrong, does not want to do right, it makes us wonder. And they're not, they have no conscience, and they don't feel guilty about it. Are you really saved? And so, if you remember King David, I mean, when Nathan came to him, "Thou art the man, David," he's like, he felt bad, right? And if you read Psalms chapter 51, you'll go see the whole thing of what he read about. He truly repented and was sorry. But if you take a look at King Saul, right, totally different reaction or response, right? King David was sorry for what he did. He was wrong. Yes, I'll take the blame. I'm guilty. I'm wrong, okay? I did it, Lord. Oh, me, Lord. But King Saul, when Samuel approached him, what happened? He started blaming this, blaming that. Didn't want to take responsibility for what he did, you know. And so, totally different. And so, God wants us. So, in the little time that I have, I took about a whole month to teach my church in Thailand. So, I'm going to attempt to do it in about a little bit here, talking about 15, 20 minutes, all right? Number one, how ought to grow? I've already said it. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, and do those other things. But another thing that I think that we don't talk much about here in the States, or at least we should. Number one, I think we ought to love one another.
There you go. That's good.
Husband, wife, we ought to love one another.
That's good. Amen.
Brother, sister, we ought to love one another. Friends, church members, we ought to love one another. If we take a look at the Bible, I don't have time to talk about all of it. If we take a look at our Bible, John chapter number 13, verse number 34, verse number 35, love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple. If I am constantly fighting with my wife and arguing with my wife, can't get along with my wife, I have some unsafe families and friends. I have to be a right example to them. I have to be a good example to my children. By this, look, God has the power over me. He's my Savior, right? He's my God. And I ought to do everything I can to please Him. And God tells me that I ought to love my wife. I made that vow in front of my mom and dad, her mom, her siblings, my pastor, and the entire church, that I will love her and take care of her and support her and help her out until the day that she dies or I die. By the way, the best gift, I got my daughter here, the best gift that I can give to my daughter and my son is for me to love my wife. That's the best gift, other than salvation, obviously. My kids ought to know that I love her. And I thank God, I thank God I have a wife that's very submissive. Very submissive. Thank God for that. So we ought to love one another. As a Christian, there not ought to be anyone in this world that's, oh, I hate that person. I don't like that person. Now, you might not really, in other words, there's some people that do irritate us, Pastor. You know, they bug us. Really, right? No, there's no one. Everyone's good, right? But there are some people like, man, Lord, do I have to love that person? You know? But as a Christian, especially as a preacher of the gospel, we ought to be an example to our flock, to our congregation. You know, they're in Laos and Thailand. I have to be very careful because preacher boys, I'm their pastor. So I got to make sure that I love my wife and I love everyone. You know, a young couple is working with us. I was talking to Pastor Kong. Yeah, I want this new couple to go and work with you because I want you, because I know you're a good example to your wife, and your wife is a good example, you know, to all the other wives out there. Like, okay, let them come work with us. But Jude 22, and we'll talk about, again, the next hour, is that we ought to have love and compassion one for another, right? It's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
It is going to make a difference, okay?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about next one before we get into it. I might not get to all of this. The next one is this. We ought to submit ourselves one to another, right?
Yeah.
Boss,
yeah.
Employee, employer. The employee ought to submit to their employer, right? Church members,
yeah.
Submit to the pastor. Wives, submit to the husband. Husbands, submit to the wife. Submit ourselves one to another. You guys already know this, Ephesians chapter 5. Again, I don't have to teach you this, tell you this, but it's a little good reminder for all of us, right? To submit ourselves one to another. Now, us men, Pastor, you know we like that next verse, right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband. We like that verse, right? But how about the previous verse before that? Submitting ourselves one to another. That we don't like, right? Now, the truth of the matter is that we could use a little bit more of it. And so, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 21 and 22. I better get to the next one. Next one. So number one is love one another. Number two, submit ourselves one to another, right? That's again, as a Christian. See, the difference between us and the world is this. Boy, they have no Bible to turn to. And they have a conscience, but sometimes their conscience is all seared, and they don't listen to it anymore. And the third one is this. We ought to forgive ourselves one, two. And I don't know about you, Pastor, but for me, this is tough. Sometimes, Brother Scott, I hold on to bitterness, which is not good. Again, pray for me. You know, I'm not the Christian I ought to be sometimes. But there are some people that makes me angry, makes me mad. It's hard for me, Pastor, to forgive them. But God commands me to forgive him or her. I cannot be right with God if I do not forgive that person. But they've wronged you. Of course they've wronged you. That's why we need to forgive, right? They're human beings, and they do wrong, and we need to forgive them, right? And you can write down Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32, right? Be ye kind, right? Amen? Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, so also do what? Ye. Yeah. Now, of course, Christ, he's God, he's going to forgive, but for some reason, it's a little bit hard and tough for us, but we need to do it. Right. And my pastor tells me this. When I was in Long Beach, for 20 years or so, he said, look, during communion time, if there's anyone in this world, God will put someone in your mind, right? If there's anyone in this world that you cannot forgive, then you're not right with God. I'm not saying it by the way. I am not saying it is easy. It's tough. But as a Christian, as a child of God, okay, we need to grow in this area, in our grace and our knowledge of God. And sometimes, by the way, I don't know who I'm talking to, but in a crowd like this, I'm sure there are someone. Okay, next one, number 4 is this. I'm looking at the clock here. Forbearing one another. Colossians chapter number 3, yeah. Verse number 13, right? Forbearing is forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. By the way, if we can understand this, I think husband and wife, I think there would be less divorce, possibly. A mom and a dad, a son and a parents, brothers and sisters and friends, whoever it might be. If we can understand this, if we would just, again, I'm not saying that it is easy, it is difficult, but I think with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? If God lives in us, if we're a child of God, it will humble ourselves. I think we can do this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 tells us what? I can do what? All things. Not with my own power, not with my own ability, but through Christ. He lives in me. I can do this. With God's help, all things are possible. Okay? Again, Ephesians 4, 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's number 4. Number 5, exhort one another. We ought to encourage one another to live for the Lord, to do the right thing. You can write down Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Exhort, look, encourage. Hey, let's go soul winning. Let's live right. Let's do right. Let's go to church. Let's read our Bible. Let's give. Let's help out this person. One of the things, Pastor, that draw me to Christ. Again, growing up in a Christian home, not growing up in a Christian home, growing up in a Buddhist home, I saw the difference between the world and the Christians. Like my pastor, our assistant pastor, our Sunday school teacher, I saw the way they behave and they act and the way they love and the way they have compassion. Here's people that don't even know me at all. They're not from my bloodline. They're not family member. But yet they'll love me and take me in and care for me and do try to help me out as a person even before I became a Christian. I go, wow, why would they do that? Why would they help me out so much? They're encouraging me. They want me to live right. They want me to do the right thing. There's something different about Christians. And it drew me to Christianity until one day it says, you know what? This is different. I feared going to hell. I know that was not a good go, but there was also that love of God, that love of the Christians that draw me to the Lord. Until 6 months later, I says, you know what? This is undeniable. This is the truth. Christ is the way. He is God. And I looked at my mom and dad's religion. They've got all those rules and all those laws and all those commandments and all those precepts, but yet they don't obey it. They can't follow it. I go, if that's what Buddhism is, sorry, mom and dad, I will come to Christianity. I will come to Christ because the love of God draw me in. And because of that, Lord, because you loved me, you sacrificed yourself, you died for me, you did everything you can. You know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to go out and tell many people as I can about you. I want other people to hear about you as well. I don't want to keep to myself. The light that was shining upon me, the darkness I used to have, and now I got light, I want to take that flashlight, I want to take that lamp to spread it out everywhere I can. I might not be good at it, but I'm going to attempt to do all I can. I might not be a great preacher. I might not be the smartest, you know, kid in school. I might be, even though I might be a C-minus student, but I'm going to do all I can, Lord. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do right for you. Next one, number six, is to serve one another, help one another. In a church like this, thank God, you know, I was over here Friday, and you guys were helping each other out. Praise the Lord. We need that, amen. We need a church that serves one another, help out one another. A person's cleaning, another person's vacuuming, another's preparing food, a person's decorating, picking people up, dropping people off. Man, I love that. I love to see that all the churches that I go to, and I look and I watch. The pastor gets involved, obviously, but others, not only the pastor, also gets other people involved. People help out. It's just great. Same thing with our church in Laos. Same with our church in Thailand. Our churches in Cambodia, same thing. Our church in Long Beach. I love it when we serve one another, help one another out. Amen. Continue to do that. And, of course, in Galatians chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 25, 36 to 43. And then the last but, you know, to comfort one another. Again, I took I took about a month to teach on this. I went more into depth, but I got about 30 minutes here. So I'm going to do, of course, you guys, you're a little bit more mature. You know all, but I'm going to give you some of these verses to comfort one another, especially around this time. Christmas ought to be the most joyous time of the year, right? But sadly enough, it's the most time where people, I believe, if I might be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, sometimes people commit suicide. Because it's everywhere you go, people are singing, you know, the lights are, you know, out and people are joyful. You've got Christmas music playing and people are joyful, but others, they're like sad and depressed. And unfortunately, some of them take their life. And if we, as a child of God, we ought to be there to comfort them, wrap our arms around them. Hey, what can I do to help you out? I mean, look for signs. They're not going to come up, Pastor, I have a problem. They're not going to do that. You know, Brother Scott, can you help me out? I have a problem. They're not going to do that. Just look in their face. Is everything all right, brother? You know, ladies with the ladies, men with the men, obviously. What can I do to help you out? And I, again, churches, Thank God churches do that. I thank God for my church in Long Beach do that. You know, without my pastor, without my Sunday school teacher, pastor, I don't think I would have made it. You know, just those early days of Christian life, we need each other. We need each other. The pastor obviously cannot do it alone. We, as a church member, we need to help each other out as much as we can to get them, to comfort them. As a Christian, as a child of God, okay, because God lives in us, the Holy Spirit lives in us, we ought to look for those signs to help out and people as much as we can, comfort one another, serve one another, exhort one another, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, submitting ourselves one to another, and to love one another. Those are some signs of the Christians that are growing. Amen? And of course, obviously, we're going to continue to work on it. I'm not saying we have perfected it. None of us will ever perfect all of this, right? Those of you that are, you know, you've been a Christian since you were a young kid growing up in a Christian home. You now might be 60, you might be 70, some of you might be 80. But I know you have not perfected it as well, and neither have I. And we need to continue to work on it until that trumpet sound, amen? Or until we take our last breath. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.